It was cool?
Yeah.
It was hot?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Do I need this?
Yeah.
I don't know how it works. All right. Can you hear me now?
No.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, you guys said I didn't look cool in this thing last night, so now I'm feeling very self-conscious. So I'm just kidding. I'm not. No, I know. It's a Habitat for Humanity lady. She left, like, stuttering words on this microphone, I guess. Yeah. Brad Sullivan, ladies and gentlemen, yes. Okay, all right. So today who did their devotionals on their work site today with your booklets? I'm such a loser. I didn't do mine. All right, good. So about half of you. Okay. And Sabine, 16, are you here today? You should be here because you're my group. You're here, right? Sabine, raise your hand. Wow. Okay, oh gosh, you're all the way in the back. Okay. They're Episcopalian. Yeah, so we're going to be doing, my helper over here. We're going to be doing our devotionals tomorrow. So if you haven't started doing your devotionals, start doing those. Okay, so today's devotional is based on Proverbs, which is a generous person will be enriched, and one who helps others will receive help. Yours will be a little bit different in your booklet. It's a little bit different in other translations of the Bible, but generally that's what it is. A generous person will be enriched, and anyone who helps others will receive help. So I am reminded of this thing that happened to Jimmy Fallon last week. Did you know about his finger?
Yeah.
I mean, okay. All right, so those of you who don't know, really interesting story. So Jimmy Fallon, like, really hurt his wedding ring finger, okay? Apparently what he did was he tripped on a rug and fell in his kitchen, and as his probably 170, 80-pound body went flying forward, the ring got caught, and it stayed at the counter. So he really thought he'd messed his finger up, and he did, but he thought it was just broken, so he runs to the emergency room, and he says, you know what, I think I broke my finger. And the doctor said, no, you didn't break it. You had a ring avulsion. So Jimmy Fallon was talking about this on a show. He goes, okay, so I had this ring avulsion. So this thing where the ring gets caught at the edge of a table or a countertop or something and basically pulls your finger off. And they said, don't Google it. Do not Google it.
What is it?
Do you know what I did? I Googled it, okay? And I regretted it. It's really super gross. I mean, what's that? It's called ring avulsion. A-V-U-L-S-I-O-N. Sounds good? So, looking at this thing on Google, I mean, the best picture I saw was just like, you know, a finger missing with like a little bit of bone sticking up. And everything was way worse than that. So, actually, you know what? So, funny thing though, is that It's something that really happens. It's not all that rare. It actually happens quite often to people that wear rings. I'm recording this and sending it to all your parents, by the way. All right, and they'll be able to hear your voice. Okay. So apparently this is really common, right? So coming on a mission trip, I said to my wife, I said, so should I wear my wedding ring? And look what we decided. We decided I probably didn't need it after hearing and seeing all those horrible images. So anyway, really serious thing. So Jimmy Fallon goes to the doctor. They said, no, you didn't just break your finger. You had a ring avulsion. You almost, like, just ripped your finger off. You need to go to a specialty care place. So he goes to another hospital where they do, like, serious reconstructive surgery on his finger. You think it's just a finger. I mean, he had veins removed from parts of his body to put into the finger and all this. And, I mean, he was in... Am I grossing y'all out? Cool. How was that chicken fried steak tonight? So he had a reconstructive surgery done 10 days in ICU. 10 days. I mean, for a finger injury, right? I mean, that's pretty crazy. So he spends 10 days in ICU, and he's got all this time on his hands. So what does he do? Did you guys see the Tonight Show last week? You know what he did? You know what book he read? Nobody? Wow. Okay. He did not read the Bible. But he did not read Lord of the Rings. All of you would have had time to do that. He read a book on the meaning of life. He read a book on the meaning of life. So you spend a long time in the hospital, I guess, under whatever circumstances, and you start thinking about why you exist. You start thinking about what your purpose is in life, right? I guess so. But I think that sooner or later, we all do that. Sooner or later, we all think about why we're on this planet. We all think about what our purpose is in life, what the meaning of our lives are. So last night, we talked a little bit about Jesus seeing a crowd, right? And who was the crowd? Remember? It was the crowd that he was about to feed fish and loaves, the fish and loaves too, the 5,000, right? So he sees this crowd and he has compassion on them, right? He sees them, he has compassion on them. But why does he have compassion on them? The Gospel of Mark tells us that Jesus had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So they had physical needs, obviously, because he ends up feeding them. So he sees them, he has compassion on them, he knows they have needs. And what was the other thing we said last night? We said it together. Compassion and need always go together, right? So let's say that again. Compassion and need always go together. So he has compassion on the crowd because they have a need. But it's not just a physical need that they have. There's some other kind of need going on here. He sees them as sheep without a shepherd. So their needs perhaps needs to be a come to Jesus moment with the crowd, right? All right, there needs to be some sort of depth to Jesus' encounter with the people. And it's something only Jesus can do. So Jesus looks on them with compassion. And the need that each one of those people in that crowd had is the same exact need that you and I have. Do you know what that is? Real easy. The need for what? For God. Come on. The need for God. And the life and gift that Jesus offers answers that need. So what do you need? What do you need in life? Food. But what? Hold on, let me finish my question. It's going to be several parts. What do you need to be whole? To feel whole? What do you need to feel happy? What do you need to lead a fulfilling life? What do you need to feel like you belong? What do you need to have to feel like you belong? What do you need to make a difference in the world? What do you need to make all these things a reality in your life? Does going to church do it? Maybe. It doesn't hurt, right? Does praying do it? Maybe. It doesn't hurt. I would definitely say yes to both of those questions. I'm a priest. I have to tell you, go to church and pray. Go to church and pray. Go to church and pray. Okay. So the great moment in this story that we hear from Mark's gospel and with Jesus approaching this crowd is that we see Jesus reaching out to those in need. He takes the initiative to reach out to those in need, and he teaches them and us, and he opens them up, and he opens us up to the power and possibility of life abundant in God's kingdom. And that's what we're talking about this whole week, the possibility of life abundant in God's kingdom. Say that with me. The possibility of life abundant in God's kingdom. That's right. So Jimmy Fallon is not alone in his desire to ponder life's meaning, by far. Whether or not someone is religious, whether or not whatever religion they are, as a matter of fact, or if someone has no life of faith at all, sooner or later we all ponder the same thing. Even the most devout Christian will ponder their life's meaning. In the Christian church, we call that discernment. All of us have a purpose, and all of us have a gift to offer the good and growth of God's kingdom. Every one of us. Jesus calls each one of us not just to live, but to live abundantly. So tonight, I want you to think about a couple of things. First, I want you to think about what you really need. What do you really need? Sometimes this gets blurred when we chase after physical and tangible needs that society says we have to have, right? Do I need this? That's open for debate, right? I'd never leave home without my phone. How many times have you said, I need my phone? I need my phone. So this week, I want you to think about, what you need. I want you to think about what you really need in this life. Second thing, I want you to think about what can the church do to help us live more abundant lives. What can the church do to help us live more abundant lives? I want us to think about abundance, not just about wholeness or a sense of purpose, which is all great stuff. But when we think about, but I want us to think about abundance. And when I say abundance, I mean something bigger that includes all these things. But I also mean that it means that, it includes greater things like justice and peace and community. Because this is what Jesus calls the kingdom of God. And this is the life that Jesus wants you to live into. And that's the kingdom we are called to live in. It is life abundant. It is life at its fullest. So may this mission trip open us up all to the possibility of life abundant in God's kingdom. Now, I want you to get with your work groups for about 10 or 15 minutes. Go find your spot like we did last night. And I want you to answer the question with your groups. What can the church do to help us live more abundant lives? Go.
Terrified.
I know, right?
Seriously, I didn't know.
I know, freaky.